Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our 14th installment of Thoughts on Purim. In the year 5776, when this is being recorded, this should be sent out on Purim Day itself. I hope everyone is having a wonderful day. Perhaps this is something to listen to while people are driving around delivering shalach manos or hopefully sitting in their homes having a wonderful day. However it is, I wish everyone a very happy Purim. Just two comments from the Sfas Emes on different parts of the Megillah. There's a famous verse, we actually referred to it earlier in the series, La'yehudim ha'isa'ora v'simcha v'sason v'ikar, that to the Jews was light and joy and happiness and splendor. The Sfas Emes says that the specific word choice of Yehudim is remarkable in the context of this pasuk. We of course know that the Jews can be referred to as different in different ways. But the Sfas Emes suggests that the word Yehuda, or for that matter Yehudi, is really quite elevated. What are the letters of Yehudi? Yud, He, Vav, Yud. And if it would be Yehuda, it would be a hey at the end. These are letters all associated with the name of God. So all these letters are associated with the name of God, except for one additional letter, and that is Dalet. A Dal, which is very much related to the word Dalet, to the name of the letter Dalet, a Dal means a low, impoverished person. So the Sfas Emes suggests that the meaning of Yehudi is just a regular Jew. You have this tremendous godliness of what it is to be a Jew merged with being, you know, really a very run-of-the-mill person, which is true for so many of us. And the beauty of this pasuk is, do you know who experienced this light and this joy and this splendor? And if you remember from earlier in the series, the Gemara matches these up to different mitzvos, whether it be tefillin, whether it be Shabbos, whether it be Yom Tov, whether it be Bris Mila, circumcision. The Jews had such a finer, higher understanding and connection to these mitzvos. Who were the people about whom it could be said? Who? Maybe it's the most spiritual, maybe the most learned, maybe the most pious. No! Even the most normal run-of-the-mill of Jews all had this great elevation in their connection to God as represented in their connection to these mitzvos. This, I thought, an interesting idea to think about. Another very interesting comment from the Sfas Emes, early on in the Megillah, we have that everyone is bowing down to Haman, who Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. Literally translated, Mordechai will not bow down. Doesn't say Mordechai lo kara v'lo yishtachaveh, which would be to Mordechai did not bow down. It doesn't say that in the verse. It says Mordechai lo yichra. Mordechai will not bow. Now, by the way, on a pshat level, presumably the meaning of saying in the future tense is it was abundantly clear, time and again, that Mordechai wasn't interested. In other words, he's not bowing now, and the next time he's not going to bow, and the next time he's not going to bow. That presumably is the pshat. The Sfas Emes has a lovely thought on this, which is that b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation of Klal Yisrael, there'll be another Mordechai. We need people to stand up for what's right. We need people to stand up for principle. So many times, the vast majority of us just go along with the wave. And what Mordechai represents in his refusing to bow to Haman is a power for future generations, that there'll always be someone like this. Lo yichra, lo yishtachaveh. He will not bow. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful Purim.